Welcome to the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church. We hope our broadcast will bless you.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our Seventh-day Adventist Church. I'm so glad that you could be here this Sabbath, because God has given me a special message to preach, a message close to our hearts, a message on God's remnant. We all know how it starts. God created our first parents, Adam and Eve. But they fell. They sinned. And they were driven from the garden. A separation happened between God's people and God. The Messiah was promised, though. And when Eve was with child, she said, "Behold, I have gotten a man, the Lord." Eve was mistaken in this, though, for it would be many years since the Messiah would come. When Cain slew Abel, the hearts of our parents must have been grieved, for they thought he was the chosen one. Eve was again with child, and Seth came. Cain built a city and separated himself from God. And for the first time, men began to call themselves sons of God, and a distinction was made. If you turn to Genesis 4:26, you can see this. Seth also had a son, and he named him Enosh. At that time, men began to call on the name of the Lord. So here you have God's people, a remnant separated from worldly worship of Cain. It goes on. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. And after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived 365 years. And Enoch walked with God. Then he was no more, because God took him away. In this next generation, we see Lamech. When Lamech had lived 182 years, he had a son. He named him Noah, and said, "He will comfort us in the labor and painful toil of our hands caused by the ground the Lord has cursed." Noah would be saving a remnant. The earth had become sinful. Men were lovers of themselves. And Noah was given a special message by the Lord. The Lord told him to take animals and save a remnant of each kind. He preached the message for years, yet nobody came. When the time came when God poured out the floodwaters, only a remnant was saved. Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their wives. And a remnant of the animals was saved. So God could have started over. Why didn't he? It seems that God finds a remnant important. He wasn't ready to destroy his creation. He found some good and decided to save a remnant so he could start over. He didn't need to do that. It was by his grace that he did this. Of course, after Noah, we still have sin in the world, and things got bad. And the next person who was called to save a remnant was Abraham. God appeared to him one day and said, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you." Abram had a son, Isaac, who he loved, and who God said that Abraham would be a great nation. So, can you imagine Abraham's disturbance at God wanting him to sacrifice Isaac, who was the promised one? But he had faith. He had faith in God, and he was ready to do it. After Isaac came Jacob. And Jacob's son was Joseph, who was also called to save a remnant. In Genesis 45:7, you can see, "And God sent me before you to preserve a remnant in the earth and to save you alive by a great deliverance." God's always saving a remnant. Now, why is a remnant so important? What is a remnant? A remnant is a small piece of the original. Keep in mind that the original was good. God didn't build sin into the Garden of Eden. It was by choice that we caused to sin. We caused our own separation. I said Joseph was called to save a remnant. How did that happen? He was sent ahead of his brothers, who just threw him into a pit and left him there to die. But the Lord had a bigger plan for Joseph. And he caused him to, again, save a remnant for his people. After Joseph died, and the generation that was still in Egypt, things got bad. The current Pharaoh didn't remember Joseph. He didn't know about him. So a new person was called again to save a remnant. Moses was this time called to save a remnant. Like we have heard in the children's story, Moses, all he had was a stick. But God put power into that stick to dry up a whole river. The Lord will dry up the gulf of the Egyptian sea. With a scorching wind, he will sweep his hand over the Euphrates River. He will break it up into seven streams so that men can cross over in sandals. There will be a highway for the remnant of his people. It's important to dwell on Moses and what he did. He saved the remnant. And the people that he saved were in Egypt. They had adopted Egyptian customs. They had apostatized, if you will. It was very important for them to turn back to the Lord. In the years that they journeyed through the desert, the Lord gave them many trials. But what the remnant does is they give glory to God. God always saves a remnant that is faithful and trusts in him. The Israelites needed to be reminded of that when they journeyed through the lands. In Ezra chapter 9, 10 through 15, you can see that the Israelites are remembering that it is very important to follow God to be saved. "But now, O our God, what can we say after this? For we have disregarded the commands you gave through your servants, the prophets, when you said, 'The land you are entering to possess is a land polluted by the corruption of its peoples. By their detestable practices, they have filled it with their impurity from one end to the other. Therefore, do not give your daughters in marriage to their sons, or take their daughters for your sons. Do not further their welfare or prosperity at any time, that you may be strong and eat the good things of the land and leave it to your children as an everlasting inheritance.' What has happened to us is a result of our evil deeds. and our great guilt. And yet, our God, you have punished us less than our sins have deserved, and have given us a remnant like this. Shall we again break your commands and intermarry with the people who commit such detestable practices? O Lord God of Israel, you are righteous. We are left this day as a remnant. Here we are before you in our guilt, though because of it, not one of us can stand in your presence. The Israelites realized that they had been caused to wander because of their disloyalty to God. And God gives many warnings to be faithful to him. In 2 Kings, the Israelites are remembering the words that Rabshakeh spoke, who was sent by the king of Assyria, who persecuted the Israelites. It may be Jehovah thy God will hear all the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, had sent you to defy the living God, and will rebuke the words which Jehovah thy God hath heard. Wherefore lift up thy prayer for the remnant that is left. And the remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, and out of Mount Zion they that shall escape. The zeal of Jehovah shall perform this. God promised that he would save a remnant. And he does. He also says that he will destroy those who detest him, who don't trust him. Therefore, thus saith Jehovah, the God of Israel, behold, I bring such evil upon Jerusalem and Judah that whosoever heareth of it, both his ears shall tingle. And I will stretch over Jerusalem the line of Samaria and the plummet of the house of Ahab, and I will wipe Jerusalem as a man wipeth a dish, wiping it and turning it upside down. And I will cast off the remnant of mine inheritance and deliver them into the hand of their enemies, and they shall become a prey and a spoil to their enemies. The remnant would face many, many trials. In Revelation, we see that Satan, the old dragon, was wroth with the woman, and he went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, what is the testimony of Jesus Christ, you may ask? And I fell down before his feet to worship him. And he saith unto me, see thou, do it not. I am a fellow servant with thee and with thy brethren that hold the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Spirit of prophecy. God said that they have despised the prophets. They have not trusted their prophets. And by not trusting their prophets, they have separated themselves from the Lord. It's by their own actions that they have separated themselves from the Lord. The Lord hasn't turned his back against Israel because he wanted to. It was by their actions. Paul says it in a very special way in Romans chapter 11. I ask then, did God reject his people? By no means. I am an Israelite myself, a descendant of Abraham. From the tribe of Benjamin, God did not reject his people whom he foreknew. Don't you know what the scripture says in the passage about Elijah? How he appealed to God against Israel. Lord, they have killed your prophets and torn down your altars. I am the only one left, and they are trying to kill me. And what was God's answer to him? I have reserved for myself 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal. So too, at the present time, there is a remnant chosen by grace. And if by grace, then it is no longer by works. If it were, grace would not no longer be grace. The end time remnant has a very special message. A very special message. Paul talks to the Thessalonians about the things that they have done and about the things that they should do. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 through 23, Paul talks to them about the things that will come and the things that will happen. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that aught be written unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. When they are saying, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall in no wise escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. For ye are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. So then let us not sleep, as do the rest, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night, and they that are drunken in the night. But let us, since we are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God appointed us not into wrath, but unto the obtaining of salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we awake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore exhort one another and build each other up, even as also ye do. But we beseech you, brethren, to know them that labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them exceedingly highly in love for their works. Be at peace among yourselves. And we exhort you, brethren, admonish the disorderly, encourage the faint-hearted, support the weak, be long-suffering toward all. See that none render unto any one evil for evil, but always follow after that which is good, one toward another, and toward all. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus to you ward. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Abstain from every evil, and the God of peace himself sanctify you wholly, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved entire without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The remnant in the end time would go through many, many, many troubles. I'd like to take you now to a bit of history. We have all heard of the Daniel prophecy. For 42 months, the remnant would be persecuted. The 1260-day prophecy refers that to that persecution. But the remnant was allowed to flee. Where, you may ask? They were allowed to flee to America and built up. And again, a remnant was formed that could preach the message. And they have a special message. Let's all turn to Revelation 14. Three angels' message. Starting at verse 6. Then I saw another angel fly in midair, and he had the eternal gospel to proclaim to those who live in the earth, to every nation, tribe, language, and people. He said in a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come. Worship him who made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and the springs of water. A second angel followed and said, fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, which made all the nations drink the maddening wine of her adulteries. A third angel followed them and said in a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on the forehead or on the hand, He too will drink of the wine of God's fury, which has been poured full strength into the cup of his wrath. He will be tormented with burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment rises forever and ever. There is no rest, day or night, for anyone who receives the mark of his name. This calls for the patient endurance on the part of the saints who obey God's commandments and remain faithful to Jesus. I would like to tell you a parable now about the remnant. A certain tailor was going through a shop. He muttered, "It's tough finding quality fabric these days." He had checked every bolt of cloth in the merchant's shop. Now he has down to the table of remnants. "Nothing but rags," he mused as he rummaged through the discouraging pile of checks, stripes, solids, and prints. But then he paused. Down at the bottom, his fingers fondled something different. He tugged. There it was, exactly what he wanted. Excitedly, he looked over. The piece was too small. Surely there must be more. "Sorry," said the merchant, "that's the last of it. And we won't be getting any more. It's quality stuff, all right, but just too expensive. Our demand isn't what it used to be. And that's why a new shop opened in town a few weeks later. It sold quality silks and fabrics like wools, cottons, and blends. The tailor called his new business the Remnant Shop." A subtle reminder that the quality fabrics of the past were still alive. Business was painfully slow at first. For the most part, the big shops simply ignored the remnant shop. But the tailor wasn't surprised. A man of conviction and dogged enthusiasm, he went about building his business with a certain evangelistic zeal. Success came at last, though not on a large scale. Branches of the remnant shop opened in the surrounding communities and even overseas. Customers shared the tailor's enthusiasm and spread the word among their friends and relatives. But keeping the remnant shop stocked with quality goods became increasingly difficult. And finding branch managers with the necessary training and vision was another challenge. So the tailor decided to weave his own fabric and train his own staff. He established schools that were closely linked with his shops. Patiently and carefully, the secrets of the trade were taught. Secrets? Not really. The tailor wasn't trying to hide anything at all. In fact, he was eager to share his ideas with anyone who wanted to know. But one fabric in particular required special care. It was a wool blend that incorporated a seven-weave pattern during the weaving process. The result, when done right, was mysterious and beautiful. Customers agreed that this fabric, more than any other, accounted for the success of the remnant shop. Years passed, and the business grew, but problems arose. Surprisingly, in those the very areas where the remnant shop appeared most successful, quality control suffered during the worst possible time. For the competition was heating up. Other shops had begun to market the same quality goods that had brought the remnant shop into existence and had once been its almost exclusive domain. Some customers and staff became condescending and defensive, acting as though the remnant shop existed for its own sake rather than for the sake of quality fabric. Others were more keenly aware that the quality had become erratic. In their embarrassment, they wondered if the remnant shop should stay in business any longer. After all, quality fabric was now being sold in other shops. The fabled seven weave was hard to find elsewhere, but maybe it wasn't so important after all. Grandpa, asked the tailor's son, have you ever thought of closing down the shop? Especially now that the other businesses are offering many of the same fabrics you once sold exclusively? For several moments, the old man gazed into the earnest face of his grandson. Finally, he spoke, let me tell you the story of how it all got started. He said thoughtfully. And he did, telling of the disappointing search for quality fabric and how the shop became a means of keeping alive a precious heritage. I'm a tailor by trade, he said, and my first love has always been the making of well-fitting garments from quality fabric. I did not begin the shop for its own sake, but for the sake of preserving quality fabric. When others discover the beauty of quality, I applaud. They don't have to buy it from the remnant shop. For quality is quality, regardless of where you find it. But then why stay in business? Pressed the young man. Especially if the other merchants are beginning to sell your kind of fabric. Someday, all the merchants will be selling the same quality fabric, responded the old man with a twinkle in his eye. Then we'll merge into a new conglomerate. I already have a name picked out. The New Earth Merchants. In the meantime, we will carry on. For in this business, when somebody else learns to love quality, he's not a competitor. He's a brother. I love this parable. It really speaks to the heart. Who do you think a tailor is? Jesus, right? What garment is he weaving? The robe of his righteousness. What might be the significance of the fabled seven-weave fabric? Sabbath truth. It's the message of the parable is that we shouldn't despise other churches for teaching the truth. We shouldn't be the only ones that have the truth. We should be glad when others find the truth. We're not the only ones. One day, every soul will worship God equally.
You have been listening to the broadcast from the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 2420 East Ashman in Midland, Michigan. If you are in the area, we cordially invite you to visit our church Saturday mornings. If you're a distance away, we encourage you to continue visiting our website and weekly podcast at midlandsda.org.